This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for listening. As we cover lots of different things happening around the Umpqua Valley today, we want to focus on what's happening following the 10-day-ago flood event in the county. Emergency Manager Emily Ring from County Government, I know you've been really busy. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So, overall, how do you feel like the county is doing a week and a half after the flood event?
Well, first of all, my apologies that you only have me to talk to. One of the commissioners probably would have happily come, but they're supporting the pop-up resource events today in Yonkala and Drain and doing other things. They've been heavily involved in this response, so you're stuck with me right now. I would say we are, short of something unexpected happening, we are mostly past the life safety immediate response, and we are much more fully into the recovery mode, both short-term and long-term, than when I talked to you a few days ago, whenever that was.
Yeah, well, yeah, a week ago, but yeah, I'm sure for you it's been just crazy.
It's a blur. And so what that means is people have done a lot of immediate problem solving, and for the things that they need longer term support on or could not immediately problem solve or need resources for, that's what we're interacting with folks on, as well as getting ready to make an initial push of information to the state and federal level.
Now, were there areas of the county that were particularly hit, maybe harder than others?
Yes. Given our topography and everything else, you could kind of guess based on the primary creeks. So Upper Olalla Creek really had some difficult places. Parrot Creek and Deer Creek, both in city limits and outside city limits. Cow Creek. Each city jurisdiction had some pockets, but it's variable. You could have somebody living a perfectly beautiful spring day today, and around the corner, a block or two away, somebody who had 4 feet of mud and their windows blown out by the force of a creek or a river. So pretty variable, but definitely some pockets.
It's interesting, is different people I've talked to, just sometimes at the store even, I went out that day, saw a lot of the initial damage and what people, what was going on. And then you talk to people that were, as you find out later, only 200 or 300 feet away. You didn't know where they lived, but their house was absolutely fine. But their yard was a disaster. Or I talked to somebody who had a gardening shed that came off its foundation, essentially, and ended up elsewhere on the property. You know, you have things like that. So the house is fine, but that whole area is a big issue. Of course, the bigger ones for some people are these homes that have had just tremendous amounts of water or muck come through. I saw a church down in South County that kind of got basically destroyed inside. And for the rest of us, it's kind of hard to fathom that all of that is going on so close by.
Yeah, I was somewhere in Myrtle Creek, and you know, there's a bit of a sad moment. Some folks that had to evacuate, and the kid was sad because he didn't get to save his toys on time. And when they went back the next day, everything was just absolutely filled with mud and water. And so you've got those types of experiences. You've got houses that are completely uninhabitable. Others, like you said, maybe because they were able to get mitigation blocks years ago after the last big flood, or because of topography, lots of different reasons, they're perfectly fine. So as always here in Douglas County, people have been helping each other out. We're going to need to continue to do that. We're going to continue to pursue all types of resources at all levels. But I would say that my focus right now is on those households. We have many, many folks who maybe their house is fine, but their driveway or private driveway, private access was impacted. There's not an easy answer for that, especially if there's no insurance coverage. But we are asking folks to just tell us their needs, tell us their situation, and we're going to sort through as we can go along and just keep having those conversations together and keep telling the story and pursuing paths.
And people have varying levels of insurance, as unfortunately, sometimes you don't realize until you get through one of these situations what your insurance covered or didn't cover, or the fact that maybe your house was okay, but you're the part of your driveway getting off of your multi-acre property is toast, and that's not part of your homeowner's insurance. So there's things like that that it's going to be, again, this is going to be a long-term process for a lot of people.
I am fortunate under the declaration that the county commissioners made, which I'm so happy that they did it very rapidly and as well as they did, that has helped open up some paths to bring down staffing support and agency support. So for each of these, for free to the county at this point under the declaration, the state agency of OEM is helping to cover some of that temporarily. For example, at each of these resource centers, I have an insurance advocate who has come down from the Department of Financial Regulation and insurance help. And sometimes maybe the insurance company just doesn't know, or maybe you just need to have a different conversation about your policy or anyways. So those types of resources are there informationally. If people want to talk to an insurance advocate, obviously we have that information elsewhere, but you have the opportunity to talk to them in person. I also have many people who are still asking for just basic cleanup help. So I'm working with all the volunteer groups I can think of. If you have the ability and willingness to maybe come and do some final cleanup for some folks who weren't able to, we are taking those types of offers of support as well right now.
And the pop-up resource events, you mentioned that. I know the one this afternoon, I'm trying to read the fine print. Apparently, I didn't print this large enough. Out in, Yoncalla and Drain today. So I presume the Drain event is going on this afternoon. Riddle and Glendale tomorrow, and Green in Roseburg on Friday. And then Sutherland and Glide on Saturday. And we've got those that have been posted a couple days ago at 541radio.com. When people come to those, then it sounds like you got a lot of the right people there to help them out and kind of point them. You're not going to solve everything there, but you're going to at least point them on the right path.
I really wish I had checks and cash on hand to give to everybody, and I just don't have that. And like I said, we're trying to pursue all the pathways, and different people have different problems, of course, and different scales of problems. So the best thing to do is to come to those resource centers, and if you cannot, to contact Glide Revitalization directly. They are stood up as our long-term recovery group point. We also activated our COAD, that's Community Organizations Active in Disaster, and they've been helping me and working with me for the last week or so since they got activated, and I can provide that information as needed.
Now, for you and your staff, I mean, you've been kind of all over the county, right?
You mean just for this event or just in general?
Well, no, just for the event, going out to really look at all the areas.
Yes, since I am one body, many partners, I was able to get a couple of teams pulled together, both of volunteers and state folks. We had our certs. Our cert was activated. Many great things. County staff, county commissioners allowed county staff to take time off of work and be shifted temporarily and do damage surveys. I myself, there was couple nights we had some pockets we couldn't cover. I let the teams go and then I would run and do it. But that is being balanced, I hope, by people's self-report. So we've got the self-report survey that's been floated out there for homes, and then the self-report survey for businesses. I know there were a lot of businesses, both agriculturally and other, that were impacted or are hurting, and I want to be able to help tell that story too. So yeah, that's what those are about.
And for some of the agricultural folks that had, land just revamped is not the right word. But when you've got, mudslides go through an area, you're kind of in the middle of trying to get it cleaned up. And sometimes it takes a while to figure out exactly what your pathway back from this is going to be. But talk about why it is so important to take time to turn in a report when maybe that's the last thing you'd like to really do.
Yeah, I have stuff that's going to be due tomorrow night that I'll be working on for the next few days, and then we have some individual assistance for the homes that comes a few weeks later. I'm focused right now on the PA or the public assistance side. That's telling the story of the governmental impacts, the special districts, your schools, your electric utilities, if they had any cost impacts, things like that, your fire districts. That all has to be packaged and sent up. It goes to review, and then if it meets certain thresholds, then it gets you know, pushed and advocated from the state to the federal level to see what qualifications for programming and reimbursement support we can start to line up. There's a process there. So like I said, we are operating on short-term needs and resources, midterm and long-term, and all have to be planned for and moving along around the same time.
All right, County Emergency Manager Emily Ring back in a moment with more on Inside Douglas County, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock, Bike Quitters Lawn and Garden Show at 4. Congressman Cliff Bentz will join us tomorrow live from Washington, D.C. for Inside Douglas County at 1230. Douglas County Emergency Manager Emily Ring, we're talking about recovery, response, everything that's been going on since the flood event back 10 days ago now. And like you said, it really feels like a blur. I'm sure for some folks, really a lot of folks with long days, short nights, and just trying to get through the stress of everything. And this sort of underlies the importance of being, you know, looking around and going, okay, what do I do to be a little more organized in life? Because while we expected a storm, we ended up getting a bigger one than, you know, most people really anticipated.
Yes, the National Weather Service pushed out a number of flood warnings and flood watches, of course, and so that was a heads up, and we knew there was going to be at least 3 inches within a 24-hour period or less, and that was going to be impactful, and then that just, I think, that unknown level of snow melt really kicked up a surge in a way that wasn't calculable, at least from some ends, and we just had that experience. And then, of course, in some areas, they got more than the 3 inches. It just varied where you were in the county.
So how did you get into, this will be a different question, the whole field of emergency management? This is not your typical 9-to-5 job.
No, it's not. Most emergency managers, I guess, are usually like gluttons for punishment. I don't know. But they tend to be former first responders, which is part of my background, whether that's, you know, it's either fire or EMS or hurricanes or something like that. And then for various reasons, they come on board. In my case, I did some crisis support and domestic violence work for a while, as well as wildland fire and natural resources. And I just sort of, everything kind of came together during one job offer. And I've been doing it ever since.
What is, you've got a clipboard here with 20 pages of notes on it. You've got to stay organized, essentially in the face of really chaos and constant text.
Yes, and so that's a lot of what I do late at night. I do not have time to get organized during the day or when I'm working with folks, but at night I try to get organized to get myself set up for the next round the next morning, because it's important. I don't want to miss the one phone call that I got from the one person who really wanted a response, and I don't want them to be buried. I want to hand them off or respond to them myself or have the commissioners assist in their request. And so, yes, it's an ongoing battle.
Now, you mentioned these reports that are coming up. And, of course, one of the factors right now is sort of the pathway for any state or federal assistance isn't totally always known about what's going to be available, right?
Correct. So we, like I said, we have to show that we met certain levels of damages, and we call those thresholds. And there's certain damage types, really, that help us meet that goal. Really, it's the major rather than the minor or affected. But I still want to track and know about the minor or affected, because maybe that's something we can help meet with small local donors or our co-ed group or Glide Revitalization. We will, as I said, continue to problem solve and be creative together.
Now, when you were talking about homeowners and the flooding, one of the info pieces from the county, this was the one from last night, some of the damage that you really want to find out about is things like flooded basements and dwellings and people that had water above 18 inches, electrical damage, structural damage. And this long list applies in some cases. I mean, somebody might be, unfortunately, checking off just about all of this.
Yes, we've certainly had those folks that they would fall into the major category, and then on down to the exhausting, but what is considered, unfortunately, at the federal level, cosmetic, meaning you had to rip out your carpeting, but you were able to wipe everything down with bleach and be okay, and just, you know, so it's that whole variety.
Now, on the county website, combined amongst the departments, a lot of information there, including where the situation with the roads and where there have been landslides and things like that. That's public works, but a whole different level of work there that also had to be done pretty quickly.
Yeah, they did a pretty amazing job. I know there's a lot of roads out there, and when you don't see the activity happening, it can be hard to track. But I hope people are using and are aware of the map, the public-facing map that's been made available since the beginning of this, where they can see where road closures and openings and slides and slide work and responses have been happening. That map gets updated regularly. This is more of a public works response, but my understanding is that they were able to open everything back up to the first lane within the first 24 hours or less, which is pretty amazing if you had seen what that map looked like. Obviously, some of those had to be mitigated over and over again until things stabilized. But
yeah, and some of these roads, I mean, there are areas in the county where you've got one road in and out of a particular area. I mean, I know some people myself who didn't end up at work the next day because they really couldn't, you know, get out of the area they were in. But fairly quickly, things got dealt with. Quite a big challenge. And do you see, now when we went through this event, Douglas County was kind of the epicenter of all this, right?
Well, other counties were impacting, you know, Cottage Grove in Lane, you know, kind of that southern lane. Coos and Cree had impacts, Jackson County a little bit, Josephine a little bit, but really central Douglas bore the brunt, and part of that was where those clouds kind of hung on and rained for a while.
I want to mention the pop-up resource events again. Now, the one in Drain going on today, this afternoon, and also you've got ones on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, right?
Yeah, so we were in Yoncalla this morning, Drain this afternoon, Riddle, Myrtle Creek area, that's being hosted down at Riddle, but it's meant to serve Myrtle Creek as well. That's tomorrow morning, Glendale in the afternoon. Friday is Green in the morning, and in the afternoon, it's more that Winchester, Roseburg area. Saturday in the morning, it's Sutherland, and then Saturday afternoon in Glide, and all of that information, the details are on the county social media pages and websites, and hopefully are getting floated around for folks.
And as you mentioned at the beginning too, while you know, somebody may be working a normal job and trying to deal with whatever level of damage they have, taking time out to get to one of these really puts a lot of the right people in front of them to really help them move forward.
Yes, and we did recognize we were always going to miss some people regardless of what we chose for time slot. And so I want to make folks aware that if they could not come to any of these centers, they can direct their needs, their questions, and anything else they want to our long-term recovery group holder. That's Glide Rev. You can go to their website at gliderev.com, or you can call them directly, 541-671-0866, and all that information is also at the bottom of each of these resource flyers. So if you miss any of these events, you've got another way.
All right, County Emergency Manager Emily Ring, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to In- inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.